Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. So you want to start a podcast, huh? Well, we got something to help you. The Black Real Estate Dialogue brings you the How to Start a Successful Podcast on a Budget with No Experience ebook and webinar bundle.
We are controlling transmission.
Come and put info into action as we show you the step-by-step process to sharing your successful podcast on a budget. This bundle is full of the exact details, social media hacks, and podcasting process we've used to gain 13,000 downloads and over 10,000 Instagram followers. But that's not all. As a bonus, you'll receive the exact super trackers we use to stay organized and free access to our private Facebook group designed to help you execute. Make sure you click that link now because there is an audience for you to reach. The How to Start a Successful Podcast on a Budget with No Experience, the ebook and webinar bundle presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue.
Do you really think investing in real estate is too expensive?
Well, you wrong about that. Presenting a beginner's guide to buying your first out-of-state property, a Black Real Estate Dialogue course. That's right, it's the new course presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue, teaching you how to develop the investor's mindset, the advantages of investing out of state, getting your finances in order, finding the right location, assembling your team, creating financing strategies, how to find and analyze properties, how to find tenants, real-life case studies, and so much more in bonus content.
Oh yeah, did we mention you have lifetime access?
My goodness!
If you have dreams of buying a property out of state but have no idea where to start, well, this is the guide for you. Learn the tips from someone with firsthand experience.
Are you looking for a community of like-minded individuals and access to experts in real estate?
Yeah.
Are you interested in real estate but need more support and guidance?
You know who it is.
The Black Real Estate Dialogue presents the Real Estate Investing Community. No matter how much or how little real estate experience you have, we've created a community for you because your perspective is important. All right, tell me, where's the number one place where you can do Q&A with experienced guest speakers 2 times per month? How about unlimited access to past guest speakers' recordings? What about a private Slack channel to engage in daily discussion with everybody in the community to share resources and support each other? Head on over to blackrealestatedialogue.com. That's blackrealestatedialogue.com. It's the real estate investing community presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue. Come join us today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 72. A few quick announcements before we get into this week's episode. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe on whichever platform you're listening to this on. This will help us move up in the rankings. It'll also help us to reach more people. So thank you in advance for supporting us in that way. Also, if you could leave a rating and review, we would greatly appreciate it. If you want to gain early access to episodes, bonus content, discounts on merch, and more, join our Patreon program. Visit patreon.com/blackrealestatedialogue to join or visit the link in the show notes. This episode is sponsored by the Bread Real Estate Investing Community. If you're looking for a group of like-minded individuals and exclusive access to experienced real estate investors, look no further. Each month, we have 2 classes that are taught by experienced guest speakers in various areas of real estate. We also have unlimited access to past guest speaker recordings. So this means as soon as you sign up, you have immediate access to our entire content library. You also have access to our private Slack channel to engage in daily discussion with everyone in the community to share resources and also to support one another and so much more. So this is definitely something that you want to be a part of. If you're interested, go to blackrealestatedialogue.com and you'll see all the information listed there. One more thing I want to tell you about is, as many of you know, if you've been tapping in and listening to the show for a while, I self-manage a property in Dayton, Ohio. And so I've had the same tenant the entire time. So it's been over a year she's been there. She's currently on a 6-month lease that's supposed to end at the end of June. And she let me know she's been going through some financial and health issues due to COVID. And she asked if she could leave a month early. And so I'm actually going to allow her to do that. I'm not going to give her like a penalty or anything like that. And the reason for that is because she's been more than patient with repairs. She's never missed a payment in spite of everything she let me know she's going through. And so over the next 30 days, I'll have to turn the unit, I'll have to show it, I'll have to list it. screen to a tenant, do all those things. So looking forward to y'all hearing about how that's going. I'm excited about this episode. We are bringing back the BREAD residency. And basically what this is, it's an extended look at a first-time investor's journey over an extended period of time. So we'll have multiple episodes with Rashida, just kind of tapping in and diving into each aspect of the process and what it's been like for her. I'm excited to bring this back. We haven't done this in about a year. If you all have been listening for a long time, Gabby Burks, she was our first BREAD resident, and she's doing really well right now. So I'm very excited for y'all to check this out and tap in. Look forward to hearing what y'all think. Without further ado, let's get into it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. I'm very excited about this episode. Here with me, I have Rashida Green Sherman out of Westchester, New York. Rashida, thank you so much for joining the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
Definitely. So this is a very special episode. For those of you who have been rocking with us for a while, last year we had the Black Real Estate Dialogue Residency, which basically was an extended look at a first-time investor's journey. So everything that the process consisted of. So last year, we kicked it off with Gabby Burks. We took a break, and thankfully, Rashida reached out. She was interested in doing the residency. We had a great conversation, and so I'm very excited to share her story over the next couple episodes or so. So definitely appreciate you reaching out about that as well.
Oh, yes. I really appreciate you having me on. I'm really excited to share my story.
Definitely. So first, Rashida, can you just introduce yourselves? Let us know like who you are, where you're from, all that good stuff.
I'm Rashida out of Southern New York. I am a first time. I purchased my first property at the beginning of 2021. I am a junior architect. I graduated with my master's from City College of New York recently before the pandemic. And I've been practicing and studying as a junior architect ever since, and also developing my skills as an entrepreneur and a real estate agent or a real estate investor. A little bit about me. I've grown up in Southern Westchester. I played soccer for about 18 years. Wow. Since I was a little kid, all the way up to D1 and semi-pro. And I just decided that after a while, I wanted to do something different. And it's interesting that now that the skills that I've learned from soccer, they've definitely translated over into the skills that I'm developing now. I was also, before deciding to become an architect or go down that road, I was working in the independent film scene in New York. So I did that for a while, and then, long story short, got into architecture, and then here I am. So that's a little brief about my background.
Cool. Where'd you play soccer at in college?
Fairleigh Dickinson in Teaneck, New Jersey.
Nice. Very cool. And what about semi-pro? Was it in New Jersey as well or somewhere else?
No, I played for the New York Magic.
Nice. Very dope. Yeah. Very dope. How did you get into architecture?
I was working in film, and I wanted to join a union. And I figured, you know, I need to learn the skills of, I want to join the union for like the art department. So I enrolled in a class at BOCES, which is a like adult educational school in Westchester. I'm sure there are other places that have it. I enrolled in carpentry class there, and the teacher, he taught us how to design and build a building, a house from the foundation up.
Wow.
And it's interesting because I had no idea. I asked him after the class, I said, how do you do that? Like, who's the person that designs that house? Like, because I had no idea. And he's like, that's an architect. And it hit me that in that moment that the only architects that I had known were white men. And it was a really big disconnect that I didn't realize that I could be an architect. And I didn't know that was something that I could do. So I just realized like he taught us how to build the house from the foundation, where the carpentry comes in at the first level, and you know how to put a roof on. And from there, I was just like, I need to figure out how to be an architect. And a lot of light bulbs went off in my mind. So I love building. I love using my hands. I love designing things. I love the technical aspect of architecture. So after that, I did my prereqs, got into grad school and went to grad school and finished.
Wow, that's amazing. It's crazy. You know, you started in film and you ended up getting you took a carpentry class and then you ended up pursuing architecture. I'm sure you didn't imagine it would go that way.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Definitely.
And yeah.
What were you saying?
It plays into this idea that I'm finding that of just trying things to go down. And I would go down an avenue to see if I liked it. And I had the ability. I definitely came from a family that was able to support me in doing all of these, just figuring out what I wanted to do. Not everything I explored or tried out, I wanted to do. But I did have my parents and my family definitely supported me, exploring what I wanted to do after graduating from undergrad. And, I just went down different avenues, and that class at BOCES was one avenue that just led me to where I am today.
Got it. Cool. So, thanks for sharing that. And just, it's cool just to hear your journey to architecture. And so when did real estate come into the picture? When did you figure out like, all right, cool. Like I want to buy a property. I want to invest. Like, how did that come about?
It was actually at the, towards the beginning of the pandemic. I was living in Manhattan in a really dope 3-bedroom apartment with 2 other dope people. And, we were locked in. We couldn't go anywhere. So I wanted to make the most of my time and have like an artistic, express myself artistically. So I actually decided to, and I designed a 750 square foot cabin. It was, 18 by 24 feet, with a loft. And the idea was to design it and build it, acquire the land to build it and, go through that entire process. And I thought that that would be my way of finally getting into real estate and owning property, because that's something I've always wanted to do. And I talked about it with people that have property. And one person, my boss actually, who's super amazing and has had a tremendous influence on my life, he was just like, Rashida, go buy a house. Go buy a house first. And I was like, oh, okay, I could do that.
Yeah.
Because I realized that getting the funding to build a house from the foundation up, a cabin, was just too expensive. But that's something I definitely want to come back to, in the future. So yeah, I realized I was saving a lot of cash from not having to pay my student loans. And I said, hey, let me figure out how I can buy a house. And I got onto the idea pretty quickly of buying a multifamily so I can live in it. And then also have the other, units pay the rent or pay the mortgage. So that was the goal from the beginning. And I initially decided that I wanted to buy something in Southern Westchester, but it's, if you're getting something in Southern Westchester, it would be in the two towns that I was thinking of, either Yonkers or Mount Vernon. Anything that was in my price range was a dilapidated, blighted property. Mm-hmm. That would take tremendous amount of cash to be occupied. So I had to push and everything else was just way too far out of my price range. So anything I could afford. Mm-hmm. So I decided to go I expanded my search. And when I found a space that was affordable, that's when I really decided, okay, I'm actually going to do this because there are spaces and properties out there that I can acquire that I can afford.
Got it.
So yeah.
Cool. So can you talk to us about the process of figuring out what you could afford and, just looking at different properties? Like, what was that process like for you, especially just being so brand new to everything? Can you talk to us more about that?
I did a lot of research on different types of mortgage, different types of loans I can get. And right away I found the FHA loan. It was really appealing. 3.5% down. So I kind of ran with that number what can I put down and then what my closing costs would potentially be. So I kept those numbers in mind. I did a lot of research on your podcast to YouTube. I'm a graduate of YouTube University all day. And So as far as like closing costs and the down payment, that's what I really, really ran with. What was the question?
I was just saying, just to explain like what the pre-approval process was like, and then from there, like what the searching process was like as well.
Okay. So I decided, my boss actually was when I was, you know, I was like, hey, like I got all these spaces that I want to invest in, and how do I get started? And he was just like, get pre-approved. And he actually connected me to his broker that he worked with on his house and some of his properties. So it was very serendipitous. He connected us in an email, and I think like 30, not even 30 seconds later, she followed up with a call. And she made me feel really welcomed, really comforted, and knew that this was something that I was doing for the first time. And you could tell that she's been down this road before many times. So she explained everything to me in a very easy way to follow. It was all about getting her just a bunch of paperwork, a bunch of information about myself, so she could draft up this pre-approval. She needed to know where I was looking, you know, what type of house, you know, the loan type that I wanted to use. So that was pretty straightforward. Every time I gave her something, she would just throw it back and, hey, I need this and that. And it was really straightforward, really simple. I thought it was going to be something that was like very intimidating, but it wasn't. It was very easy, very straightforward. Got two pre-approvals, one for a two family and one for a single family. And from there, that was great because I was able to, which I didn't know because I was so new to the process. Yeah. When I wanted to look at properties, people would say, do you have a pre-approval? And I was like, well, yeah, I do. I actually do have a pre-approval. And they're like, great, you can come see the place. So yeah, so I got that. And then, so after I got the pre-approval, then I was searching and I wound up, I don't know if I said this already, but I landed in Newburgh. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of research on Newburgh. I had heard about it in grad school. One of our professors has invested, he has some property up there, and he also brought in somebody else to speak to our class who has done amazing work up there. She's this brilliant Black woman who is just killing it up there. I was really inspired by why she picked Newburgh, particularly before the pandemic. I picked Newburgh during the pandemic for very different reasons than the waves that have come before. Newburgh is a city that's 60 miles from New York City, and it's considered, or people call it the sixth borough. It has a deep architectural history. The buildings are beautiful. The location is beautiful. It's right across the Hudson River from Beacon, which has a stop on the Metro North. So you can go right into Grand Central or New York City. Those are the things that really appealed to me and I developed in my search, or I came across in my search. I also realized that there was a lot of property there. They have a land bank that you can, bid on properties for. They're mostly dilapidated properties that have been, you know, in blight for many years, decades even. And I didn't go that route though. I was able to go up there and see a few properties. At first, I was working with a gentleman from a realtor from realtor.com. They have a really cool system where they saw that I was searching for stuff and they said, hey, do you want a realtor to work with you? And I was like, why not? I mean, sure. Like, that sounds fantastic. I didn't have to like go searching for one.
Yeah.
So we got connected, and I liked what he was saying. I liked the fact that and we just kind of clicked from the beginning, and we put up a list together. I think I gave him, you know, five or six properties every day that I wanted to see, and he would make it work. And so at first, searching for the properties, there was one day where I took a vacation day and I just went up to Newburgh and I saw every single house that was on the market. And I just drove around, got a feel for the city. It's one thing to look at it on the computer in your phone, but it's another thing to actually be there, see it. I needed that experience. So, and I encourage people to have that experience. It gives, you know, houses that I thought were, you know, in fantastic condition. When you see them in real life, you know, they don't look quite as charming.
Yeah.
And you actually can see more extent of the property. So there was that. And that was great. That was fantastic to see for my search. Also, my mom came with me. I went with a couple of friends. They came up. They were actually interested in the beginning of my journey. They wanted to buy property as well. Mm-hmm. But after a while, we realized that our goals were different. So we decided to I decided to go on my own. And hopefully with those friends, I'm high excited to maybe do that, link up again in the future, because she's super into this now. And intrigued. I bought my mom and, you know, I love Newburgh. It's a really cool place, but, you know, some spots are tough. And I bought my mom with me to one place, and I'm so enamored with the potential of the space, of any of the spaces, because, you know, I have that eye as an architect. I can see what it could potentially be as opposed to what it currently is. So I would go in just being like, oh man, like, these places are great. Like, there's no sink, there's no stair. Like, there's all of this stuff is missing. There's no windows. You know, it's halfway through renovation, and the renovation is just not that great. But so it was really great to have my mom there. Cause so to give me some perspective of like, Rashida, this is really bad property. Like, take a look around, take a look at who is walking in front of your building. Take a look at the activity going on in front of your, in the street. Take a look at the state of the property. So between my mom and the realtor that I was working with, I'm very glad that they came and were able to offer a different perspective, because it helped me. I think it helped me see another perspective that I wasn't seeing, because I was really, really, I wouldn't say blinded, but I was really attracted to the potential of the property.
Definitely.
So yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. I have a couple follow-up questions. So one thing you mentioned is just that it was good to have other perspectives as you were going through the process. And as you mentioned as well, like, new investor, very excited to kind of dive in and get your first property and things of that nature. Can you talk about the importance to you of having other people come along for the ride and be able to help you make a good decision?
Yeah, definitely. It's important. It was what I needed, because like I said, I was very driven by the potential of something, and I oversaw so many things. I stepped into one place and my mom noticed immediately that there, she was like, where's the bathroom? There's no bathroom here. And I'm so enamored by the kitchen and by mm-hmm. other things in the space that I didn't realize that the bathroom was in a very weird, awkward place. And when I went into the bathroom, it was very, very small. I would have eventually got there, but, like, you know, I was ready to just be like, yeah, let's do it. Also, having other people for one of the first times I went up there was great, because they offered, there's so many things to see in a property, the backyard, access to public transportation, alternate side parking, your neighbors, the state of the property, the state of the building, sounds, sights, everything. And I think that it's just a lot, I'm only one woman, and having more ears and eyes around definitely helped. It helped see things that I would have never been able to see the first time around.
Definitely. Could you talk more about what you were looking for, like what your criteria was? Like, did you have like a checklist? Like, all right, I don't want to be in Newburgh, but, you know, the properties I'm looking for, the areas within the city or town I'm looking in, they need to have this, this, and this. Did you have something like that? Like a criteria that you were looking at?
I kind of kept my list a little open and a little loose. I needed a certain price point, obviously. I was attracted more to properties in like the downtown area, or like more townhouse areas where there is no gap or very small gap between each property, with maybe a backyard. I wasn't interested in having anything like a suburban or a in a suburban setting, or with a driveway. Because I'm appealing, my target market is for my tenants are younger people that would want to live in something that is reminiscent of Harlem or Brooklyn, some Brooklyn spaces. So my criteria was appealing to that target market. also, I didn't want to have to, originally I didn't want to have to do a significant amount of renovations, maybe like something cosmetic or update the, you know, counters, update the bathroom. I really wasn't looking to, I wanted turnkey. Mm-hmm. I also wanted a multifamily. That was number one, multifamily. But yeah, those were some of the things that I looked for. Oh, and also definitely nothing. I didn't want anything with significant structural issues. A lot of the houses up there have not been, a lot of them need some help. And I really wasn't interested in throwing down a significant amount of money on anything structural.
Definitely. Definitely. So, yeah. I think what's really interesting about what you mentioned is, you know, yeah, you were a brand new investor, but you still had certain things that were like a no-go for you, as you mentioned, certain conditions you wanted the house to be in, all of these things. And I think it's very important for people to, you know, whatever kind of investment you're trying to do, it's important to have that criteria. It's important to know what you're looking for. Are there certain kind of properties when you're searching that you're just not even going to consider? And I'm sure it helped you in your search and helped you to kind of narrow down. And also, I'm sure like the more houses you saw, the more quickly you could identify certain things as well.
Yes, definitely. There were some houses where I saw online that they look great and we put on the list to go see it and we pulled up and we didn't even get out of the car. So it helped. Yeah, you look at it and you're just like, whoa, it just looks different. And also when they're posting these pictures online and on these websites, Zillow, Realtor, they use filters. They use Photoshop. You know, that's a whole other topic, but they're using digital techniques to manipulate the photos to make them look appealing, to make the facades look clean, to make the mold growth on the roofs, and you know, the dirt accumulation of decades of not being clean go away. So, having the criteria of like my list of must haves was definitely important and helped speed things along and not waste my time.
Definitely. Definitely. I like that. That's an expert tip right there. Cause you think about it, like a lot of even homes that are in bad condition, you could kind of sometimes tell, like you're looking at a property online and you're like, why do these pictures look so crisp and clear? But it's been on the market for like 250 days, you know, you're into a ton of those.
Yeah, definitely.
How many properties do you think you saw before it was all said and done?
I probably saw maybe 30 or 40, 35, 40.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm a research oriented person. So I always want to see it. I think that was really important for me to know that, to get an idea of what was going on in that market and see where I could land. I didn't want to miss an opportunity, but I also didn't want to take an opportunity that I would think about later and say, well, maybe if I just did a little more research, I would be able to find something more, a little better.
Definitely. That makes a whole lot of sense. Awesome. Awesome. So we covered the pre-approval process. We covered some of the search and what that was like. What would you say was the most challenging part of the search process before you got to the closing table?
Before I got to the closing table, the appraisal. The appraisal took a while. Most difficult. Yeah. The appraisal took a while to first schedule and then actually have happened. There was a misunderstanding between the current owner and the appraiser. They met at the house. One didn't ring the doorbell. One didn't call the other. So they actually missed the appointment.
Wow.
And so we had to reschedule. And then they rescheduled for the next week. And then there was an issue, another delay in getting the report over to finally move to closing. So that was really it. One of the more difficult things was being patient, actually, which I picked the house, three family, and I knew that the first floor needed a complete renovation. So I was able to start at the end of September planning the renovation and having the closing date pushed back three times to ultimately close in the end of January was nice because, yeah, I did save up a lot more money and have more cash to get these projects going, get the tools and the equipment that I needed. It was just frustrating hearing that closings go. I hear people online saying the longest closing I've had is 45 days. And I'm thinking, I was thinking that I was doing something wrong.
Yeah.
But I did have, it was difficult, but I did have an amazing, amazing team helping me out throughout the entire process. Between my lawyer and my loan broker, they understood that this was my first time and they just helped me out throughout everything. Any question I have, I would call them probably 3 times a week just to say, hey, like I have a question about this. I don't understand this term. I didn't know what an amortization schedule was. And my loan broker sat down or she called and talked about it. So yeah, it was difficult to understand why it was taking so long and you know, having to be patient, even though you really just want to move and get in there. But yeah, I had an amazing team and my lawyer is so dope. She helped me out in so many ways. So yeah, that was great.
Very cool. Very cool. So we talked about pre-approval. We talked about looking for properties. I'm excited to jump into the closing process and kind of how things grew from there in the next episode. So I appreciate you hopping on for this introduction and just sharing a little bit of backstory about the beginning of your process. And for the listeners, I'm very excited for you all because, you know, we're really going to draw it out and really explain in detail what it's like, you know, when you're brand new. And so Rashida is definitely going to drop a whole lot more game in future episodes.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it.
Definitely. And then Rashida, where can people find you if they want to keep up with what you have going on as they follow along with these episodes? What would be the best places to keep in contact with you? Go ahead and share those.
To keep in contact with me, the two best ways are through Instagram and through my email. I'm really responsive to email.
Cool. Can you share the Instagram page and also your email address?
Yeah, sure. My Instagram is Rashida GS. That's spelled RASHIDAHGS. And my email is rgsherman9@gmail.com.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Rashida. I really appreciate you coming on the show. And then for the listeners, if you want to keep up with what we have going on, you can find all of our resources at blackrealestatedialogue.com. If you want to support us as an official patron, go to patreon.com/blackrealestatedialogue. Thank you so much. I look forward to hearing from you all soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.